We're looking at spring election trends and voter turnout. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Polling sites throughout the state are open. They'll remain open until 8 o'clock tonight for the spring nonpartisan election. There is a statewide race for a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There are also local races. City, villages, towns will choose elected leaders. And near Madison, the Sun Prairie School District is asking voters to consider the largest referendum in the state to build a second high school. You can find voter information at wisconsinvote.org. Do you vote in spring elections? What is it about spring elections that makes you go to the polls or keeps you away? We're at 800-642-1234. We're going to take a look at some historical trend lines now on spring voter turnout with Barry Burden. He's a political science professor at UW-Madison. He directs the Elections Research Center. Barry, thanks for coming by.
Glad to be here.
So what does voter turnout look like in spring elections historically compared to other elections, say midterm elections, for instance?
Well, it's certainly lower and more variable. Over the last decade or so, these spring elections have varied anywhere from 15 or 16% turnout on the low end to over 40% on the high end if a presidential primary happens to be happening the same day.
Oh, so that coinciding of a presidential primary is perhaps luring more people to the polls?
Absolutely, especially when those are competitive, as in 2016 when the Republicans were still fighting out their presidential nomination and Wisconsin felt as though it had a stake in what was happening in that process. That tended to pull in voters who might not otherwise be attracted by a mayor's race or a Supreme Court race or something else happening.
What offices are spring elections for? What do we see on these ballots?
They're largely set aside for nonpartisan races, so they've been segregated from what happens in the traditional April or the August primary and then the November general election. So that would be Supreme Court races in Wisconsin, all of which are nonpartisan, local towns, villages, and cities that have city councils and village boards, mayoral elections, school referendums, school board members. So it's a variety of things from the state level to the local level that actually really impact people's lives. These are elections that are meaningful.
Yeah. What are the potential impacts spring elections can have on voters' lives?
Well, in Sun Prairie, as you mentioned, tax rates are going to be affected very immediately by the vote. So when you have a school referendum on the ballot, you know that it'll affect building and infrastructure and taxes. And so there's a very immediate impact there. I think for a lot of voters around the state who are voting on town councils and village boards and mayors, they're going to feel it when it comes to basic services like trash collection and public safety. You know, these are things that we experience on a day-to-day basis, and so these offices really matter.
And you've said that Supreme Court justices probably have more effect on people's daily lives than do members of Congress?
Yeah, I think that's right. Well, there are only 7 members of the Supreme Court, so each seat really matters. Whereas in the U.S. Congress, there are 435 members of the House, and so one member doesn't have a lot of influence. But the Supreme Court is ruling on things all of the time that affect, again, Wisconsinites' daily lives, whether it's regulation or the environment or taxes or labor law or controversial issues like voter ID and redistricting and other kinds of things. So it runs the gamut of issues that I think Wisconsinites really care about.
We've seen more people, it seems, become politically active on the left in recent years. Do you think that could have an impact on voter turnout in spring elections?
This election will be a good gauge of that. Democrats had a good run last year, winning a Supreme Court seat that was viewed as favorable to them a year ago this time, and then having a good set of results in the November election, winning 5 statewide races, which was a real success. And so now I think this is a test to see whether we've turned a corner and things have gone back to a more competitive situation, or whether Democrats are still really in the driver's seat.
We're talking with Barry Burden. He's a professor of political science at UW-Madison, directs the Elections Research Center. We're looking at some trend lines in spring elections and what spring elections, the impact they make for voters' lives. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you vote in spring elections historically? What drives you to the polls? What keeps you away? Call in. You can also email ideas at WPR.org. Barry, people are perhaps more motivated to vote in partisan elections, but can there be downsides to that?
Yeah. So as we mentioned, this was done intentionally to separate nonpartisan races where I think policymakers didn't want partisanship to be a big part of the conversation and wanted to emphasize competence and experience. So in choosing a mayor or Supreme Court justice, wanted to take partisanship out of the equation. That has a downside in that turnout tends to be lower in races where partisanship's not on the ballot as a cue, and where the parties aren't really invested in the campaign. So, I think there are upsides in trying to insulate these elections. It does feel over time as though they become more partisan. I think most voters have a sense in the two Supreme Court candidates who are on the ballot today that one is associated with Democrats and folks on the left, and one is associated with the Republican Party and folks on the right. But nonetheless, we maintain the veneer, at least, that these are nonpartisan. But it does have that side effect, unfortunately, of drawing fewer people into the process.
Is that pull, that trend toward partisan politics, you see growing over time, that these spring elections have become more and more political?
They have, at least for the Supreme Court. That's the one that's at the top of the ballot. And I think both sides really feel as though there's a lot at stake. The court has been weighing in on more important issues over time to the parties. And so they and their allies have begun dumping money into these races and actively recruiting candidates. And I think really endorsing one side or the other in a pretty open way. So it's true that there are no party labels on the ballot. But for the set of people who vote in these elections, they tend to be more informed and engaged kinds of voters because turnout's lower. And I think they have a pretty good sense of what direction the court will go based on who wins.
I wonder what the impact of media coverage is on these elections, because in a spring election where there are more community-based initiatives on the ballot, perhaps smaller races or mayors or things like that, where perhaps they don't get as much attention from news sources.
No, it's true. And we've seen local press wither away over the last decade or two, really, as the internet has taken over. And so the lack of coverage, the less intense coverage in these campaigns is just less stimulating for voters. These campaigns feel much shorter. I don't think it feels that way to the candidates, but to voters, it feels like it's just been a few weeks we've been talking about these races, whereas a congressional race or a presidential race may run on for a year or two. So it feels as though we've not quite got to the saturation point where people have all the information they would like, but it's election day and here we are.
Perhaps in some respects we feel closer to 2020, and we could just call it 2020, the presidential campaign, than we do in our own small community elections.
It would be ironic if the average person on the street knew more about the 20 Democrats who are running for president, where the Iowa caucuses are almost a year away, than they knew about who was running for mayor or city council.
When you look at these trend lines from spring elections, what are some research-oriented things that you try to draw out, that you try to glean from them?
Well, we're interested in who participates. When turnout is as low as 20% in some of these elections, you worry that skews the electorate in a particular direction, and it does. Research shows that the voters in these low turnout elections tend to be older, higher education, higher income, more partisan, and so they probably represent a different set of interests than the average voter. Also, when there's a specific office on the ballot, like a school board race, it tends to draw out parents, teachers, teachers' unions members, people who have a stake in what's happening in the schools. And it's helpful to have those people involved in the election, but they're not a representative swath of the electorate. So the lower turnout goes, I think the more political scientists become concerned that we're really drawing an unrepresentative group of people to participate and make decisions for all of us.
Have there been any efforts in Wisconsin to increase turnout for spring elections?
There is a little talk now and then about rescheduling these elections, maybe consolidating them with what happens in the fall. It would be complicated because then the ballot would need to have both partisan and nonpartisan races. But research from other states shows that would definitely increase turnout. So we have to decide whether we want to contaminate the nonpartisan races by putting them on the fall ballot. There is a sense, I think, in Wisconsin of election fatigue. We've just been through a year, in a November election that was pretty intense 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Here we are back at it. We had an election in February in the state and again in April. The frequency of elections is a driver in the negative direction for turnout. We vote in Wisconsin and in the United States generally much more than in other democracies around the country,
the world. How big of an issue could fatigue be? How much of an issue could that be on the ballot, perhaps, and in getting people to turn out? Have you seen that across the country?
Yeah, we have. In places with more frequent elections and with longer ballots, where there are more issues on the ballot, voters tend to drop off and sort of pick and choose the races and times that matter to them. it's work to be a voter. There's information to be gathered, and at some point people want to return to their regular lives and not be focused on what's happening in the next election. Looking at the weather today, by the way, there is some research on rain and turnout, and it suggests that more precipitation reduces turnout, but more so when elections are not especially competitive. So in uncompetitive races, an additional inch of rain decreases turnout by about a percentage point or two.
Really?
So not a huge effect, but enough that you notice it.
Let's put that in the category of fun fact to know and tell.
Right. Yes. Dinner party chatter. Exactly.
Well, Barry, thank you so much for coming by.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Barry Burden is a professor of political science at UW-Madison and director of the Elections Research Center. And on this spring election day, polls are open until 8 o'clock. Up next, it's news. Then does Americans' obsession with Marie Kondo go beyond our perennial love-hate relationship with decluttering? Our guest argues that we're drawn to her because we see her spiritual approach to tidying up as an exotic, otherworldly fix that is different from Western issues. We'll talk about it. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.